Someone put a comment on social media that our union for the first time has the beautiful problem of two left candidates. And we all come from the same sort of fight. I was recruited by a woman who was a leader of the Casuals campaign at Melbourne Uni. That's how I got first involved. So all of this excitement and change across the Victorian division really comes from that spark that happened at that Casuals campaign in Melbourne, and what we were able to build in terms of bargaining in the last round of bargaining to really bring thousands of people into secure work could not have happened if that campaign hadn't started. And now we're seeing the dividends of it, and hopefully it changes our union nationally as well.
Yeah, and so Brenna, what comparisons can you make with what's happened at Monash and what happened at Melbourne?
I think one of the things that happened at Monash that's really big that you and I have spoken about before, Annie, is our wage theft court case win that we had. That wage theft was discovered by rank and file members, by members of our union, and they brought it together collectively and they brought it to senior leadership, and we did something about it. And we are now fighting again around that. It's 12 months since that determination was made and we still haven't seen payments come through to those affected. That's a whole nother kettle of fish that I can get into. But I think that one of the things that shows is that was something that our members discovered, and our members are our union. And it's the same with the stories that David is telling. These are not things that have happened because paid members of staff or senior leadership have discovered them and magically fixed them. That's not how it works. It works because the members see an issue, they raise an issue, they come together, they work together, and they solve it collectively. And that's the sort of leadership that David and I want to inspire, and we want to do more of that. And we want to make sure that those members who see those issues and who want to do something feel that they have the voice to do that, and that they're not shut down in any way, and that they have people behind them who will make that happen.
The universities, which are public spaces, have been overtaken by a neoliberal assault from, I'd say, the 1980s. It's been a considerable attack on what was a public space for excellence in intellectual pursuit, but it's become muddied. And part of that is that it's top-heavy now, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. It's top heavy. The people at the top are paid significantly more than the people at the bottom, which is something that we see in, you know, corporate America, but is happening here in our own universities as well. And I think that there's a real disconnect between the vice chancellors and chancellors and people at those executive levels and the everyday workers in the university. And I think we are also starting to see that shift coming about in our union as well. And that's really scary to me. I don't want us to feel like our rank and file members are separate or disconnected in any way from the leaders that are supposedly there to support them and to encourage them and to foster their own leadership and growth within that group.
Power is completely in management's court at this point. One of the things I just want to point out is that, you know, our union is made up of professional staff, the people who support the university and academic staff. So it's not just academic staff that we represent. That's what I love about the NTEU, is that in a university space, we are often, as professional staff, which is what I am at the Faculty of Fine Arts and Music at the University of Melbourne, the old VCA, you know, we are subservient in a lot of people's minds to academics. And within our union, we have an equal voice. And I think a lot of those ideas about how we recenter that gravity back towards workers in our universities, a lot of those ideas are coming from professional staff as well.
Actually, it's one of the things that I found really shocking was to find out that the library people lost their tea room because it was decided that they didn't need a tea room at the library. And I thought, wow, this university is really sinking to the bottom of the heap. Which, I mean, they're professional staff, effectively, aren't they?
They are.
They
yeah.
are.
Yeah, one of our most active parts of our membership at Melbourne. And in fact, I think across all of our union.
Yeah, definitely at Monash too. Yeah. I think that the other thing that's important to add is that we don't just cover universities in our union. We cover TAFE and we cover research institutes and other smaller bodies as well. And I think that one of the things that we notice within our union is not only do we speak about academics, and we speak about professional staff, but we also then sort of forget that there are other members that we support as well. There's also
potential members, right?
As well. Correct.
We want a growing union that represents the entire higher education sector, not just Melbourne and Monash, right? For too long, that's been the focus of...
Like the TAFEs down in, you know, country areas and all those kind of things. You're talking about everybody, aren't you?
In that we actually represent private providers as well. A lot of, you know, people, Call Arts is a private provider and they're covered by the NTU. So people are being educated in different ways, and we want a union that integrates all of those voices into one place.
How do you go about doing that, though? How do you make sure that your members are being heard? You know, tell your members how you think that could happen.
I mean, I think for me, I have a particular focus on TAFE because that's where I started when I got into education. I worked at Melbourne Polytechnic, and I understand how challenging it is being in a TAFE, and also to feel in some ways forgotten and slightly unloved by your own union is difficult. That was my personal experience when I was at Melbourne Polytechnic. I've been speaking to TAFE members across Victoria about the issues that they're facing. I actually was speaking to some members from GoTAFE, and there's a merger happening at the moment between two TAFEs in Northern Victoria that I don't believe anyone knows is actually happening, and the merger has gone through and those members have dealt with that on their own. These are rank and file elected members up there. So that was shocking to me to hear that. So I think that the widespread membership that we have shouldn't be a barrier to supporting them. We've all learned through COVID that we can interact on Zoom, and I think that that's one of the ways that we need to be engaging with these members better. I think there are also inherent structures in our elected leadership that means that those people don't have a voice. I understand the democratic nature of that, that the number of members you have in an area warrants more elected representatives. But also, if we don't have the members to begin with, how do we get an elected rep to then ensure those voices are heard?
Part of this starts with just having leadership that reflects the membership, right? Like, we're never going to just one day magically have all of those people at the table. It's a vast sector. But we have to start somewhere, right? Having two professional staff people, an incredibly underrepresented cohort within our union, running for the top positions in our state, our issues are going to be heard at that table. And the work that we've done, you know, at Melbourne, the professional staff for this round of bargaining put 4-day work week for professional staff on the table, right? That's not something that academics would have put on the table if we didn't have that voice. And I think the same thing goes with TAFE and private providers. And the simple answer is organizing. And we just need to get out there and be having those conversations and recruiting those members and making sure that they know they have a place at the table that is the NTU.
I think also, in addition to that, as a woman standing, it's really important to me that we hear women's voices. The average union member in Australia is a 45-year-old woman, probably in a caring industry. And I think that, you know, I was at the women's conference for the NTU on Friday, and we were talking about how nationally our membership is 60% women and 40% men, but we don't see that reflected in our leadership position.
I always think that's really weird.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think that's terribly weird.
And to extend that, I'm a queer person of color and first person with those identities at President of Melbourne. And, I think you just see... when someone sees themselves reflected in the leadership, that the comfort in calling you when there's a problem, or the comfort in calling you when there's a celebration, that's also the we always forget about the fun part of unionism, yeah. Right? Like, you know, the togetherness and the excitement for our wins. So yeah, I think again that sort of hearing those different voices is so important.
What are your views on the biggest challenges?
Yeah, I think one of the things that comes to mind when you speak about that is our recent report on class sizes. So we are in the business of educating students, and I use that word business, which is ironic because I don't think we should be a business, but that's the language that we use. you know, we're seeing detrimental class sizes at the moment, and that's impacting our students. And our students should be the focus of the way that we work as higher education professionals and academics. And I think that we and our senior management, I think, are also losing sight of that. I think that we've forgotten that we're in the business of education, and that that needs to be one of the key features of the way that we work.
Because we're really in the business of real estate at the moment.
Correct.
All of these things go back to getting that center right around who has control, right? We have burnout across professional staff and academic staff, and it's not because of some lack of resiliency that we have, right?
It's overwork.
And it's with no real input into how that work should be designed. And when we have managers on $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 a year salaries dictating what a level A academic is doing in a classroom, they haven't been in a classroom for a very long time,
if ever.
And so that's why getting that balance on the governance of the universities and having greater voice at those tables is incredibly important.
That's what you're aiming for. Once you're elected, that's what you're aiming for, and that's what the NTU would be pushing for.
Well, it's funny, as we talked about earlier, our ticket is called Branches Lead. And to me, that's a question for each branch. We're set up as a union a little bit differently than most unions. You know, usually the branches are the state level. The core of our union really is what we call branches, which is are the individual universities or TAFE or these different areas. I very much believe in not dictating what's going to be the most important thing for your branch. What I think our job will be is helping facilitate those good ideas to be able to run a winning campaign in workplaces. This is actually my third time running for a statewide office at NTU, and I've seen it over and over again. You see the other people campaigning for these grand ideas, and it's like, that might be a good idea, but that's not what has been decided at a branch level. So why are we cutting those people out of it? I have my own visions about what I would love to see, but I don't think that's what the job is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah,
I agree. I think it's about amplifying the voices of our members. They all have their own ideas about what would work, and they might be better ideas than our ideas. And I think also we can improve the communication that exists between the branches as well, because there might be something that's happening at Deakin that's great that only members at Deakin know about. And if we share that idea and it works at another branch, then that's great. We should be utilizing the skills and the knowledge that exists within those branches as well.
What's funny about our union is that we actually have all of these structures to do all of that already. You know, we have a division. I'm the president of the division council in Victoria. So that's the all of the branches come together and we meet, I think, 5 or 6 times a year. And that is that space. And we have these individual branches that have their own branch committees. My dream for our union is to actually, for the first time, actually run it the way it is designed. Because we, I don't think we need to bring in new ideas. Like, let's try using what we have already.
And what do you think gets in the way of that? Other people's agendas or outside forces?
Other people's agendas. I won't get into this deeply, but you probably know that our union was essentially the vision of a single person. And so I think a lot of things play out from the kind of the personality of that person. And so I think to be a leader in the union previously, you sort of had to
be the big man or the big woman.
And usually the big man. Yeah. Yeah,
because people are sort of into this idea of you've got the motoring cap on, you must know what to do. But in actual fact, the answer is in all the people that are having difficulties at work and then discovering that they're not the only ones who've got that same difficulty.
I think that's true. I think that also there's a sort of a disconnect from some of those people that David is speaking about from their own experiences of being a rank and file member.
If ever, yes.
There's a separation there that exists that I think means they but they don't know internally what's going on, and for whatever reason, they are afraid to find out as well. So, you know, David was saying that we have these structures in place already that could be working in the way that we envisage, but they're not, and they're currently existing as a report back structure that is top down. And
selective report back, even.
Correct, yes. And it's not transparent, and it doesn't go down to the members. It doesn't get disseminated in any way.
And there could easily be change make the union more effective. You've started your campaign. Are you finding it difficult to get to all the members, or what's your strategy?
It is difficult to get to all the members.
The rules of our organization is that you don't get access to anything other than the list of members that's provided by the AEC, which is a very limited, because of the Howard rules, I think it is that, you know, all of our elections are run by the Election Commission by postal ballot. The barriers are just like crazy high to try to reach people.
So especially for us as rank and file members as well.
Yeah. My strategy personally is, so I'm the branch president at Melbourne, and I'm the chair of the bargaining team there. And really the core of my strategy is to be doing a good job in my job, and hopefully members notice that. They know me, but it's the largest branch in the country now. We've grown 20-something% since I've been branch president. That's what we have, and then it's the traditional, social media now, and speaking to people like you, and just making sure people know who we are and what it is that makes us different, which is that we're real members.